Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Translation. Sir, I am not a suitable bridegroom for your daughter. I render service to you only for the satisfaction of Krishna. Purport. Both brahmanas were pure Vaishnavas. The younger man took special care of the older one simply to please Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19.21, Krishna says, Mad bhakta puja bhyadika. It is better to render service to my devotee. Thus, according to the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is better to be a servant of the servant of God. One should not try to serve Krishna directly. A pure Vaishnava serves a servant of Krishna and identifies himself as a servant of a servant of Krishna. This is pleasing to Lord Krishna. Srila Narottam Das Thakur confirms his philosophy. Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtar Payeche Keva. Unless one serves a liberated Vaishnava, he cannot attain liberation by directly serving Krishna. He must serve the servant of Krishna. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshum Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Rijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharini Nivishesha Shonyavadi Pashata Deshatarani Kanyadana Patra Ami Nahayatomara Krishna Pritche Karitomar Seva Vyavahara Sir, I am not a suitable bridegroom for your daughter. I render service to you only for the satisfaction of Krishna. First line of the purport says, both brahmanas were pure Vaishnavas. So, that's an important point. They're both pure Vaishnavas. So, as pure Vaishnavas, the older brahmana, the younger brahmana is saying that you're from a most aristocratic family, well-educated and very rich. But it seems actually that the older Brahmana was quite a simple person also, because he was not so concerned about the social niceties, which actually now the younger Brahmana is bringing up, the problems that may arise out of this match that the older Brahmana was suggesting. So it seems that although he's well-educated and very rich and aristocratic, he's also a simple person and grateful. He's expressing his gratitude. He wants to give his daughter to the younger Brahmana because he's grateful and he wants to show some respect. He wants, and as Navadvip Chandra Prabhu nicely explained yesterday, he wanted to give actually what was most precious to him to the younger Brahmana, because his heart had been won by the younger Brahmana, by his wonderful service that he did for him. Not only that, I'm sure he was convinced of the actually the very high qualification of the younger Brahmana. Because any young person who serves an older person in such a devoted way is actually a very great personality. And that's what the younger Brahmana had done. He'd served the older Brahmana so that he actually didn't even feel any discomfort, any fatigue, any trouble when they were on parikram. And parikram actually is quite arduous sometimes. And in those days they were walking everywhere and going to many remote places. So he served him so nicely that the older Brahmana was completely bowled over, we might say, completely won over by the service mood, attitude, care, love and care that he was given by the young Brahmana. So therefore it's my conviction that it wasn't that he just wanted to give his daughter to this younger Brahmana. He actually thought that this young Brahmana was actually a suitable match for his young daughter. And as we will find out in the later part of this story, not all his family was so cultured or so nice, so generous as he himself. So it is my suspicion that actually his daughter was his favorite. And he wanted his daughter to go to be married to a suitable person. And he had found this suitable person in the form of this young Brahmana who'd served him so nicely. And possibly he was even aware that there may be some problems. Maybe his son, who is the one who was going to be devious and not straightforward later on, trying to get out of this promise, may have already had his plans for marrying off the daughter to others just for the sake of social prestige or wealth, aristocracy, all those concerns. So the older Brahmana, not wanting his daughter to just be a pawn, just like in medieval times in Europe, all the royal families, they would intermarry their daughters, princes and princesses, just for the sake of diplomacy. So just imagine that. It's not because of any compatibility or anything like that. Just because, an alliance can be made between one nation and another because there's a marriage tie there. That's how things were. That's how mostly... And most of those marriages, I think, were pretty disastrous, usually. So the older Brahmana, he didn't want that. He didn't want his daughter to be a pawn, a diplomatic pawn for the prestige of his family. He wasn't so interested in that. He was a simple person. And he wanted the best for his daughter. And his daughter, I suspect, he wanted that because she was also of that kind of nature. She was also if not a pure Vaishnava, on the way to that. And therefore he wanted her to have the proper match. And this young Brahmana, although he's saying that he's not aristocratic, he's not well-educated, and he's not rich, etc., actually he is the most qualified. And in fact, him saying that he's not qualified is his qualification, according to the pure Vaishnavas, such as the older Brahmana. So his arguments are going to fall on deaf ears. Older Brahmana will probably be even more convinced after this conversation that actually he's chosen the right person for his daughter to be married to. And of course he got to know him very well. He knows his daughter very well. He's got to know this young Brahmana very well. So therefore he's able to judge whether they are a suitable match, whether they are compatible. So that's the background. So they were both actually simple, not conniving, not devious, not trying to just achieve greater prestige from this situation. And grateful also. The old Brahmana is grateful for the fact that he's been cared for so nicely. He's grateful that actually he's found somebody suitable for his daughter. And the young Brahmana is grateful actually just to be able to serve him and thus be able to please Krishna. When at first reading, or if somebody didn't know much about Krishna, they might say, the younger man took special care of the older one simply to please Krishna. We'll say, oh, well, didn't he care for the actual old Brahmana? He's only to please Krishna. It could be thought of like that. But, of course, he would not only please Krishna, he would please the old Brahmana, plus he himself would be pleased by this service that he was able to perform. Because, of course, if Krishna is pleased, then Krishna being in our heart, he will also be, the young Brahmana himself will also be pleased. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says, Mad Bhakta Puja Bhyadika, that's in the 11th canto, when Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, and saying it's better to render service to my devotee. So why is it better to render service to Krishna's devotee? That also might be a query somebody might have. Krishna is the topmost. He's the ultimate, the supreme, the absolute, omnipotent. Surely he should be served first and foremost. So why is it that he's saying, that Krishna himself is saying it's better to render service to my devotee? Well, the first thing is that Krishna loves his devotees. So if we serve his devotees, Krishna's very happy because, actually if you go to the Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda, Sri Sri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There's many verses actually which I have here where Krishna, well, not just Krishna, actually, yes, Krishna also, he actually confirms this, that it's better to serve his devotee than to serve him. Of course, that doesn't mean to say that we shouldn't serve Krishna. But automatically, if we're serving Krishna's devotee, we're serving Krishna. Because Krishna's devotee, especially his pure devotee, will only try to engage us in their service in terms of if that brings us closer to Krishna. For instance, another verse you may be familiar with in the Adi Purana, it's actually Krishna talking to Arjuna. He says, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhaktas cha te janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas te me bhakta tamamataha. He says, those who are my direct devotees are actually not my devotees, but those who are the devotees of my servant are factually my devotees. Excuse me. That's quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, 11th chapter. So there's another verse in the Padma Purana. Sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishvila mataha. If one is not actually connected with a bona fide disciplic succession, whatever mantras he chants will not bring the desired result. So the desired result is to actually achieve the lotus feet of Krishna. But if we don't, if we go, try to dive straight for his lotus feet, he's going to skip out of the way. Just like sometimes you see devotees diving for somebody's feet and the other one just immediately skips out of the way. Very, very nimbly, in a very agile manner, they skip out of the way. It's quite amusing to watch. So Krishna will do that. He will nimbly skip out of the way if we just dive for his lotus feet without actually accepting the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, especially the spiritual master. So one should not try to serve Krishna directly. And of course, we have a famous verse, Gopi Pato Padakamalayo, Das Das Anu Dasa, that I'm not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, what is the next line? What? Yeah. But basically, we're not. I'm not any of the Varnas. I'm not a Brahmana, Vaishnava, Sudra. I'm not a Kshatriya, householder. Not a Brahmachari. Not even a Sannyasi. I'm only the servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, who is the maintainer of the gopis, and is giving infinite bliss. So, Prabhupada quotes Srila Narottam Das Thakur, who confirms this philosophy, Chadiya Vaishnav Seva Nishtha Payeche Keba. Prabhupada quotes this sentence quite a lot from Narottam Das Thakur, but I actually couldn't find where it's from. It's supposed to be from Prema Bhakti Chandrika, but if you look in it, at least if you look in the shloka book, that's where it says it's from. But if you actually look in Bhakti Prema Chandrika, at least I couldn't find it. But in any case, it's an important sentence. Vaishnav Seva, Chadiya Vaishnav Seva. So giving up Vaishnav Seva, Nista, with faith. We don't have a word for word, but Payechi Keba, you cannot achieve liberation. If you give up the service of the Vaishnavas, you cannot achieve the liberation of directly serving Krishna. You must serve the servant of Krishna. So the main points that I've personally gleaned from this purport is that actually we should try to be simple, like they are, simple, grateful, and who's the most grateful person? Actually, of Krishna's 64 qualities listed in the Nectar of Devotion, The 17th one is called is grateful, that Krishna is very grateful. And Srila Prabhupada, I don't know, maybe Rupa Goswami also, but at least Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion, he says that any person who is conscious of his friend's beneficent activities, his very good activities or bestowing benefit, and he never forgets that those activities, is called grateful. So Krishna is like that. He never forgets whatever little service one may have done. Krishna always remembers that, any little service. And that's one of the great benefits of realizing that Krishna is omniscient, all-knowing. That you may have done, or some individual may have done, just one little tiny, like somebody may come in here for the first time, see some little bit of rubbish on the floor and pick it up, like that, and then they leave. They don't even look, maybe, at the... But Krishna will remember that. He's always so grateful for any... So what to speak of all of you who've done so much service for Krishna? He's going to be so grateful. And the example given, I'm sure actually by Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is of Draupadi. So Draupadi cried with the words, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda." And Krishna felt that that put him into her debt. Just by her calling out like that. Most of us wouldn't think that, you know, just by calling a name that puts us into debt. But for Krishna, that's he's so happy that he feels indebted. So Srila Prabhupada says later that actually the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is also simply an address to the Lord and his energy being Srimati Radharani. So to anyone who's constantly engaged in addressing the Lord and his energy can imagine how much the Supreme Lord is obliged. So by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna feels obliged to his devotees. Or to anybody who chants, he feels obliged. Actually, he says it's impossible, absolutely, completely impossible for the Lord to forget such a devotee. So, whatever we've done, whatever mantras we've chanted, whatever Maha mantras we've chanted, Krishna will never forget that. It's impossible for him to forget it. He won't forget it. Not that he just doesn't want to forget it. He can't forget it. So, anyone who addresses the Lord immediately attracts the attention of the Lord, who always remains obliged to him. So, of course, we should try and chant as nicely as possible for Krishna's pleasure. Otherwise, he may withhold his mercy a little longer until we actually do come to that point when we chant with attention. So there's another example. I don't know if any of you remember. The first example was Draupadi chanting Hey Govinda, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda. And there's another example given of Krishna's gratitude. Can anybody think what it is? Anybody read Next of Devotion recently? I saw it in somebody's desk. So maybe they... well, I'm sure he's grateful to Mother Yashoda, no doubt about it, because she's, yeah. But that's not the example given here. This is in the qualities, yes. Yeah. Oh, Uttaran, yeah, I'm sure they're very grateful as well. But that's not the example given here. Gajendra, he would definitely be grateful to the Lord as well, yeah. No, no. This is quite good fun for me anyway. Let's. Yes, you're very close there. Close. A particular name. Huh? Not Hanuman, no. Jambavan, you got it. Yes, well done. Great. Jambavan, yes. He was grateful to Jambavan. Now, I suppose it's Prabhupada or Rupa Goswami quotes this because it's a little surprising. But he says, another instance of Krishna's feeling obligation is stated in connection with his dealings with Jambavan. When the Lord was present as Lord Ramachandra, Jambavan, the great king of the monkeys, rendered very faithful service to him. When the Lord again appeared as Lord Krishna, he married Jambavan's daughter and paid him all the respect that is usually given to superiors. Any honest person is obliged to his friend if some service has been rendered unto him. Since Krishna is the supreme honest personality, how can he forget an obligation to his servitor? So that's just to emphasize, even, you know, in different incarnation, doesn't matter, Krishna remembers eternally whatever little service we may have done, or any of his servitors may have done. So, what to speak of Krishna being grateful, we should actually be also grateful. And it's actually easy to be grateful for certain things, like, you know, having a human life. Well, maybe it's not so easy. Sometimes it seems painful having it. But at least, anyway, in theory, we can understand that this human form of life is a great opportunity. So we should be grateful. So we should try to cultivate that gratitude. Just by meditating on it, by thinking about actually how this is the only opportunity. We hear so many times in the scriptures that that it's the best opportunity, or in fact actually the only opportunity to get out of the imprisonment of material life. So, and there's so many things we can be grateful for. Not only this life, this human body, the air we breathe, the food we eat, all provided by Krishna, the association we have. Krishna, all that Krishna does for him, even more directly, like giving us his holy name, coming as the deity, and so many other things. But actually, can we be grateful for those things which actually appear to be obstacles or difficulties? So I want to ask you that: are you able to be grateful for, like, for instance, getting older, or getting ill, or hunger, thirst, or whatever problems you may have faced in life? Anybody has any particular examples? Yes. A person called Catherine Cooper Ross. Do we have? So this Cooper Ross was her occupation.
Kathleen Kubler-Ross is a Swiss doctor who specialized in looking after people in their dying condition when the doctor can no longer do anything for them, and asking them what they need. And it's an interesting aspect that part of it was where there was a recording of her visiting the a dying mother, and her children were serving her, and she couldn't hardly speak or tell this mother, and the children, they had to translate what she was saying because she'd had a stroke. And what happened, Kubler-Ross asked her a question. She wanted to die, actually, the elderly mother. She responded, you know, because she was useless now. She couldn't, serve her children or anything. That her response, Kubler-Ross, she said, well, don't you think you're depriving them, your children, of maybe giving you back to you what you gave to them, looking after them, that somehow they were fulfilling a need too? The woman, in her slurry voice, spoke to her daughter and said, but I'm so useless now. And she said, well, there, you're depriving them of a chance to give back to you. And this was actually, you're depriving them of a gift and a chance to repay all the mothering that you did, that now you are being cared for by them. And it's the gift that you can give them is by helping you. And that's... that sort of revealed the nature of an elderly person feeling useless, but at the same time fulfilled a repayment of love, actually, a loving exchange. So that's just an example I remember. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. It might be just the wire connection.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Sorry, I didn't touch it, but somehow it went off. The main point is actually not to just be grateful for the good things that we get, but to be grateful actually for everything. Why should we be grateful for everything? It's because everything is actually for our benefit. Because Krishna is our best friend, isn't he? And therefore, if we are suffering... somehow or other, that's for our good, for our benefit, and it will help us to grow. So we can all think about that, how we can become grateful, even for the things which are hard to be grateful for, and try to see the good in it. And in actual fact, if I think about my own life, if you're on the street and you're trying to distribute books, and you say to somebody, take a book or chant and Hare Krishna, be happy. Say, I'm already happy. I don't need. So actually the suffering is a great benediction, which actually opens us up. Otherwise we think there's no need. Life's good. I'm enjoying myself, apparently. people think in their illusion they're enjoying themselves. But actually they're not. So we have to practice trying to be grateful, even for those difficult things, those hardships, those obstacles, which seem to be so difficult for us to cope with. In the mood of that verse, which Srila Prabhupada says should be the guide, also in the Nectar of Devotion, the guide for all devotees. Tatenu kampam sushamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam viparkam. Hridvagvapal bir vedadan namaste jivete yo mukti pade sadayabak. That one who earnestly waits for the Lord to bestow his causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, and paying respectful obeisances to... with his heart, words, and body to the Lord, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So that's the mood that we have to cultivate. even if things are going against us, it's actually my misdeeds that have caused this. And the reaction I'm getting is actually just to wake me up, to correct me. And eventually I will get the Lord's mercy, causeless as it may be. His mercy he will give. Actually, there was a couple of pastimes I wanted to mention. I don't know what time breakfast is due, but it's anyway. One is about King Prataparudra. So he was. Actually, he got the mercy of a devotee in the form of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, originally, who convinced him that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Lord himself. So Prataparudra, he wanted to meet the Lord. But as soon as he asked, well, first of all, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very hesitant about asking Lord Chaitanya if he would meet with Prataparudra. So he said, "Can I ask you something? And, you know, you won't be too angry with me if I ask you." And so Lord Chaitanya said, "Yes, you can ask me, but I may accept, I may reject." And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he asked, he says, "There's one king, Prataparudra. Actually, he's a very great devotee. Please, can you meet him? He really desperately wants to meet with you." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "No way. I'm not meeting him. It's like poison. I'm a sannyasi. I'm a renunciate. If I meet an aristocratic, wealthy person, of such a prestigious person, or meet with a woman, it will be like poison to me." And so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had to drop the case, because he said, "Actually, if you persist with this, I'll leave Puri." And so they didn't want that to happen. But in the meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very attached to Ramananda Roy. And when at some point he asked Ramananda, he said, "Give up all this mundane activity that you're involved in, just retire, you know, because then you can come and we can be together in Puri, and we can share." I think Ramananda Roy was one of the, was it two and or three and a half closest associates. And then they can relish Krishna consciousness together. So when King Prataparudra heard about this, he was very happy, actually. And he said, "Yes, you can retire, no problem." Even though he was a very valued servant of his. "You retire, I'll give you full pension. Maybe even more." I'm not sure. Was it more? Or was it just full pension? Just full pension. Anyway, that's pretty good deal, you know. Full pay as pension, no work involved. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? I mean, just imagine, like Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they were not. They had to escape by devious means from Nawab Hussain Shah. Well, Rupa Goswami just left, and then Sanatan Goswami had to bribe his way out of prison, etc. So Prataparudra was actually a great Vaishnava. He was so happy to oblige Ramananda Roy. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he heard this, his heart started to soften. That Prataparudra was so kind to Ramananda Roy. And then, actually, Ramananda Roy himself came then and asked Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that, Yeah, at some point he will get the Lord's mercy. He will get Krishna's mercy. And then most of us know the story that eventually it was arranged by Sarvabhauma, maybe Ramananda Roy also, that he would change into regular clothes, and then when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped in the Rath Yatra to rest, then he massaged his feet and he started chanting beautiful verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, Tapta Jivanam, all that. And then after he chanted that particular verse, he said, "You are the most munificent," and he embraced him. "You are the most munificent," because that verse is saying how those who glorify Krishna and spread his glories, they are the most munificent. So the king, although so wealthy, such a high position, he was able, through the mercy of the devotees, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Roy, was able to get the mercy of the Lord, of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One other example is of Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit was a great Srimad Bhagavatam scholar. But, unfortunately, he didn't understand the real import of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so when Srivast Thakur, he heard the shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam being spoken, he entered into his Devananda Pandit's assembly where all his students were there, and he started to have ecstatic symptoms. And it describes how, you know, he was crying, weeping. Obviously, if one of you was like that and you started having ecstatic symptoms, we might consider it a little bit of a disturbance, unfortunately. I'm thinking, well, is this a sahajya? Or it's a bit delicate. So his students, they thought, "Hey, this person is interrupting our study." And they were also mundane. They were thinking in terms of, you know, just becoming highly learned and all. So they picked him up and threw him out. And when Srivast Thakur came to his external senses, he felt very sorry and he just left and went home. And Lord Chaitanya knew about this. And when he saw Devananda Pandit at some point, he castigated him. He says, "You are a nonsense. You're teaching Srimad Bhagavatam, but you know nothing about it. You don't know the real meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam." but actually, that chastisement was a great blessing. Sorry, getting old. A great blessing for Devananda Pandit. And later on, at some point, Devananda Pandit was continuing to do... He felt very chastised. Actually, he had very good qualities. And he was actually qualified in many ways to get the mercy of the Lord. But the reason why he didn't get the Lord's mercy was because of this offense to Srivast Pandit. But Vekreshwar Pandit, somehow or other, at some point, he stumbled into Devananda Pandit's house. And somehow or other, Devananda Pandit became very attached to Vekreshwar Pandit, seeing his dancing, and he started to protect him from the crowds. He actually held a stick to stop anybody from coming and disturbing Vakreshwar Pandit. And then when Vakreshwar Pandit, when he fainted in ecstasy and fell over, he would catch him. And then he would take all the dust from his body and smear it on himself. Like that. So in this way, he actually got the mercy of a devotee, Vakreshwar Pandit. And then, later on, he actually wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya. He developed a little faith in Lord Chaitanya. He hadn't had any faith before. So later on, he decided he wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so the devotees encouraged him, but he was timid, because he'd been chastised once. You know, but anyway, somehow or other, he got the courage to approach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said, yes, I'm a fool. I'm teaching Srimad Bhagavatam. I think I'm so learned, but actually I know nothing. Please tell me the real import of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased with him, because he'd become attached to a devotee, Vakreshwar Pandit. And it's a very, very instructive passage of Chaitanya Bhagavat, if you read. I've got it here, but anyway, no time. But he explained the real meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam is bhakti, devotional service, and nothing else. Everything is just devotional service. And he told Devananda Pandit, you just preach Srimad Bhagavatam, and do it in the light of everything, it pointing to devotional service to Lord Krishna and nothing else. There is nothing else in Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way, also, not only did King Prataparudra gain the mercy through Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, but Devananda Pandit, he also got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya through Vakreshwar Pandit. So, it's the most fundamental point that we take shelter of the Lord's devotees. And this week, of course, we've been taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada, being very dear to Lord Krishna on his appearance day. And I was reading the Vyasa Puja book. I feel ashamed to admit that I, somewhere or other, I just spaced out. I didn't submit an offering to Srila Prabhupada. But it was nice to read all the offerings given by the devotees. Prash had a nice poem. If you haven't read it, you should read it. All about how we're in prison and how we can get out of prison. I read, lots of Srinivas, Prayojan, Sam, and others. Also, Sudhabha, Jagatpriya, of course. So, thank you very much for your kind attention. Any comments or questions? Yes.
You mentioned earlier how we can be well-wishers, or how we should try and be well-wishers of others, right? Or like Krishna was, he appreciated Jambavan, appreciation of others.
Gratitude.
Gratitude. So in Nectar Devotion, he says, if you want to be the well-wisher of Krishna, then you should try and help others come to Krishna.
That's the most pleasing thing to him, to bring others to his... Srimati Radharani is doing that, isn't she? She's thinking, oh, this devotee is so nice, this Cyrus here. Please, Krishna, accept him. Of course, he has already. As a result of Srimati Radharani's mercy. Any other points?
Thank you, Prabhu, for your very nice class. You mentioned to be grateful for things, and even if they're unpleasant as well.
Yeah.
That's for devotees, that is. So, but maybe it should be, maybe you could have stretched that a little bit more further in saying that, because when we're new to Krishna consciousness and even practicing for a while, it's not easy to accept calamity or distress when they come upon us.
Yeah.
Very difficult. But in hindsight, we can sometimes look back and say, okay, I remember one time I was saying, Krishna, what do you want from me? I mean, it was going so bad. But years later, I knew that, okay, he had a plan. And
so no, everything is yeah. is leading us to Krishna. Yeah. That's so the now, whole so creation yes, is for that
so
purpose.
So now my heart is softened, and when something happens to me now, I'm thinking, okay, Krishna has got a hand in this, so I surrender to that. Try to, and yeah. then accept that that's His will.
Yeah.
But initially, it's quite difficult. So I'm making this point to say that we don't want devotees, new devotees, to think, well, I'm not grateful for things bad happening to me. There's something wrong with me. But, you know, so it can take time to cultivate that, you know, that mood. I just wanted to...
Well, yeah, I mean, even people who are not devotees, like Prayojan was telling us, you know, they have this concept, we should be grateful. And in actual fact, it's not just within devotional circles, but in other parts of society, people say, you know, actually often when you look back, you'll think the most difficult times were actually the best for me. I learned the most, I grew the most, you know, I became more human, you know, through these experiences. Otherwise, actually, we become hard-hearted. We think everything's fine, you know, and we don't have sympathy for others. Because we think, well, what's the problem? We don't, you know, a poor person realizes what it's like to be poor. A sick person realizes what it's like to be sick. And they have empathy for others. Yeah. Anyway, thank you. Good point. Yes, Gopinath Prabhu.
Thank you for the class. We're discussing in this verse and the following verses also about, obviously, the brahmana, young brahmana serving the senior brahmana. Mm-hmm. So it was at least mentioned like, mainly physical service, helping him in his different duties and his travels. But mm-hmm. Prabhupada specifically says in the purport, this very strong statement, which is mentioned many times
Prabhupada.
Yes, towards mm-hmm. the end, he says, unless one serves a pure devotee, he cannot become liberated. So in other words, means unless one is liberated, he cannot give liberation, or in more devotional terms, unless one has pure love for Krishna, he cannot give pure love. Now, it's a very like strong statement, and we know there's another dimension to this, so I would just like for you to clarify, and just a few points, because actually some Vaishnavas say that unless one serves a pure devotee directly, then he cannot attain Krishna. And often, quote, is the spiritual master, unless one has a spiritual master, there is a pure devotee. But we actually know that not all spiritual masters are on that platform. They're not all liberated. You have different categories. Mm-hmm. And also in terms of the service, it doesn't mention, is it direct service? Is it vapu? Because that's what they would claim. One needs to have a direct spiritual master. Or mm-hmm. can it be indirect? Can it be in terms of vani, in terms of mood and mission, serving a pure devotee in that way?
Well, I mean, there are many Prabhupada disciples who never met Srila Prabhupada, but they're still around and they're still fully committed to his mission. They only received their beads in the post. Quite a lot are like that. But some of those are the most committed. So I think that's an answer to one part of your question.
Yeah, but then they would say they're Prabhupada disciples, so they're still disciples of a pure devotee. So for those who are not, how would we kind of explain that? Because some people claim that. So
well, just like
playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Well, the disciplic succession is there. If we're in a bona fide disciplic succession, we actually are. We're plugging in to the power of that succession, that disciplic succession. So. it's not just, we're just being connected through the spiritual master or through the devotees. You know, if we're not initiated, it doesn't mean to say we're not getting benefit. We're still connected. Okay, maybe not with that formal diksha initiation, but we're still connected. You're following the instructions of the devotees. And if you're following as purely as you can, with sincerity, then you get the benefit from that. Ultimately, it should lead us to taking formal initiation. And if we get the opportunity for direct vapu service, then that's good. But it's not always possible. So mainly it's taking shelter of the lotus feet of the guru. I mean, because the original guru is Krishna. Actually, the guru is just the representative of Krishna. It is, we should see as Krishna, as good as Krishna, and treat them as such. Whatever platform they may or may not appear to be on, we're not to judge actually what platform they are on. Sometimes, you know, it may not be obvious because they're not going to display symptoms of ecstasy and all that. That's just not the right thing to do, is it? So they may not appear to be, you know, pure devotees, but that doesn't mean to say they're not. And even if they're not, if they're sincerely following their spiritual master, then they're also receiving through the whole disciplic succession, the parampara, all the mercy, and they can pass on that mercy as well.
Just in my own words to understand, it pretty much means that they follow the pure instructions of the devotee. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, by serving them, even if they are not liberated or pure, you're actually following and serving the pure devotee. So it doesn't matter how much down the line.
Yeah, yeah.
But ultimately, for us, it's simple because of Prabhupada. So in that sense, if we're following Prabhupada's instructions through his representatives, then we're always safe.
But if we are following sincerely, as purely, or if that Vaishnava is following sincerely, they are pure devotees. Like Srila Prabhupada said, you know, pure devotee means he's following sincerely. So he said on one occasion, you know, they're all pure devotees. All my disciples are pure devotees because they're following me very sincerely. Whilst they are following, if they stop following, then of course it's... Okay, I think we better stop there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande.